first thing I do is I turn the lights on in the back, and we come and open the doors up. I'm Leonard, and I'm the president, CEO of Airport Travel Agency.
Good afternoon, Airport Travel and Baggage Storage.
My main motto is we don't say no. We don't say no. We gonna find a way.
My flights I didn't make, and I want to go hang out in the city for the next 8 hours that I'm just going to be stranded here, and I needed to find a place to put my bags for a while.
5:30 in the morning, it's game time. Sir, I need a bag wrap. Sir, could I get a shower next door, even sleep out in front of the lobby?
There was a woman who came in with a very large dog, and she said to me, "Where can my dog go to the bathroom before we get on the plane?"
Leonard is wonderful, and I mean, he's a hardworking person, and I know sometimes he said that he come in here like 4 a.m. and goes home at midnight.
They just amazed when they find out the owner is doing the shoe shine, you know, like I say, I do it all here.
He's an icon around these parts, just got a presence here, and he's full of great information, and we like him, so we're glad he's here.
Now we're ready for business now. Come on, join us here.
So the snow globes come here from passengers who believe that they can carry on their snow globe because it's a gift, and also because it's very fragile.
My name is Kimberly Hubbard, and I do whatever I'm told to do.
So they come here, and they're trying to get through security, and then they realize, oh my gosh, my snow globe has fluid in it, so I can't take it through security. And so they'll come here with their snow globe, and when they find out the shipping price, they're not very happy about that. A lot of time they just abandon them here. So we've started collecting all of the snow globes. I've got like 12 at home. I like to turn them all on, and then they make this creepy, eerie, like all out of tune sound. I don't know why I get such a kick out of this. That's the word. I like that.
I told my employers with my collection of snow globes, I say one good way you can lose your job is break my snow globes on my desk. Yeah. Let's see who this is. Yeah. When I started at the airport, I used to like always hearing the jet noise from the airplanes and watching them push back and the catering trucks going up to load the galleries and everything. And I always say, you know, this gonna be my field, the airline business. And from that day on, I've been in the airline industry ever since 1972. My employees, my key employees have been with me. Wesley is about 7 years. Wesley's wife also works with me also too, which she's been with me about 6 years. And Carol Finer been here since about 20 some years. She's like my wife away from home.
My name is Carol Finer, and I am the unofficial historian of Airport Travel Agency. I've been here since the company opened in 1987, and I've seen just about everything that goes on here. We've stored many items here. Some of the more usual items are things like kayaks and bass violins, surfboards, windsurfing equipment. That's all standard for us. But some of the more unusual things. For example, one time we had a pair of carved doors from Indonesia. They were about 12 feet high, and we stored them quite easily. A couple of guys came in, I guess they were restoring a car because they had the back seat of a car, and we stored that for them. There was a set of fresh antlers that had apparently just been removed from an animal. I don't know if it was an elk or a moose or a deer, but they were fresh. We stored huge tires, like for a gigantic truck. And of course, our famous and favorite item was the ashes of a lady who had passed on.
Did anybody ever tell you about the ashes?
Yeah.
I don't want them here. We're talking about an urn that Leonard broke for a customer. It was a very bad accident. He didn't know what was in the bag, and when it cracked open, there was grandma everywhere all over the floor.
About a year and a half ago, we had a customer that came in to store a couple of small bags. And she was from Atlanta, Georgia, and her destination was going to South Korea. So she stored her bags, I think it might have been on a Tuesday, picked up on Wednesday. And unfortunately, I was the one to pick up the bags for her when she came in. And I went and picked it up off shelf number 7 in the back. And when I looked at the bag and picked it up, it was just so heavy, just so heavy. And I picked it up and all of a sudden it just popped open and I heard this glass break. When I first saw the white powder and the urn it was in, I said, oh wow, these are human remains. And I said, I know when I go outside, this lady really gonna flip that her item got broken. I went outside and the young lady, oh, that's okay. I said, well, ma'am, you know, the ashes there, that's okay, no problem. She said, do you have a plastic bag? I said, yes, ma'am, I have a plastic bag. She said, you have a spoon? I said, yes. So I gave her a little plastic bag and a spoon. She just got maybe a little bit of dust out of it.
A spoon? I didn't know that part. Yeah. I thought we swept her up.
Oh, no.
And instead, grandma's final resting place is right there underneath our x-ray belt. And she has remained there. He has saved the urn, and all of grandma's remains are in the bag.
And thinking she's going to take all the pieces with her, she said, no, I'll leave my mom here with you. I say, man, what? She said, yeah, I'll leave my mom here with you.
She's been sitting there, and he will not let us throw her away. She's going, this is her final resting place.
This is for life.
This is for life.
Door closing.
My name's Colleen Henderson, and I'm from New Zealand.
Hi, welcome.
How much would it cost me to leave this little bag here today?
$20 all day.
Very cheerful, confident. I just left a small bag that I don't want to cart about town with me all day. I've done it lots of times before.
We're professionals. We do this every day.
I always find it a bit disconcerting that they just poke your bag through that hole and then you've got the tag out here. But it always seems to work. Or it has in the past.
It's a puzzle.
Now the important part is to help me up now. Come on, man.
Okay. My name is Stine Dekmegaard, and I'm from Hellerup, which is just north of Copenhagen, Denmark. I am watching these guys dismantle my bike, my new pink bike that I've bought here and that I'm bringing with me home. It's kind of silly because I'm from the land of bicycles, but I really wanted a cruiser, so I bought a California cruiser. Well, I was actually a bit naive, so I was just thinking, oh, I will come here with my bike and they will take it and peacefully roll it into the plane. So that was kind of my hope, but honestly, I had an arrangement with the taxi driver taking me here that if it was not possible, then he would store it for me for the next time I'll be back. And it's just not a problem. They looked at it and said, we can do that. Not sure how, because it's kind of big, but we can do that. So that was awesome. I'm very happy. Yay!
My main motto is we don't say no. We don't say no. We gonna find a way. I tell all my employees, being in the position that we are in, when a customer come to you that actually have a problem, we have the solution, and my job is like a quarterback. You only have 12 seconds to release the ball. You only have 12 seconds to come up with a solution to get that passenger on the way. And so far, we've been keeping up with that record. We keep a scoreboard inside the office, and I call it a touchdown board. You know, and every day we get to work, everyone knows it's game time.
I think he's very caring, and he cares about his employees, and he cares about his business and helping customers.
One time I heard this noise from down the hall. It sounded like jingle bells. And in came this guy who was completely normally dressed in a shirt and slacks, and he had giant clown shoes with jingle bells on them. And we got hysterical. Leonard and I were hysterical because we said, are those, you know, you're gonna have to take your shoes off to go through security. And though, are you going to be able to fit those shoes under the seat in front of you? I mean, they were enormous. And he said he was Bobby the Clown, so nobody would molest him because he was Bobby the Clown.
When I first started at the ticket counter, you know, I said, wow, you know, I'll be a steward. And my wife said, nope, you're not going to be a steward, you know. So I say, well, one day I might be a station manager. And then another thing it told me, just kind of learn everything in the field, everything that comes around travel. Put it all in one basket. And when you start picking out in that basket, what do you do best? That's what you do. And what I do best is customer service, servicing passengers, servicing people, servicing the public. I got hired with this company called Amlock. And in 2000, the company came to me and said, well, you know, how would you like to buy controlling interest of the company? My wife said, you know everything about the airport, the airlines, go for it.
Oh, wow, this is a Samsonite.
It is a Samsonite.
Juice. This thing might be worth a couple of dollars. Why are you sniffing like that?
Cobwebs.
No.
Well, it's musty. That's... What is it saying there? Style number 4632.
Google it.
My name is Wesley Hubbard. What do I do here? Darn it. I do everything from baggage storage, faxing, shipping, copying, sell bags, boxes. Mainly customer service in general. And I like working for Leonard. He's a great boss. He's very personable. Always has a good idea and just a team player all around.
A nice storage customer came in. She was actually looking for lockers. I told her that there are no more lockers, but alternatively, she could leave her luggage with me for a fee, of course. And she mentioned that she had this big clunky thing without any wheels. She got at a garage sale for $5, mind you. And she didn't want it anymore because she couldn't roll it and didn't want to carry it. So, lo and behold, I have it in my possession. Oh, wow. Buffalo gal, how much is it on there?
They're selling it for $25.
Oh, juice. So she got it for a steal of a deal.
Yeah, I know you don't like it. Len, I just want to give you this. Because we are very appreciative of what you do for us as flight attendants. Yes, he does go out of his way. Well, my name is Isabel Schaefer, and I'm working for United Airlines as a flight attendant. You know, I store my bags here because sometimes I have two trips together, and I cannot bring my bags on my trips. So he stores my bags for me always. And, you know, they give us a very good deal with the shower facilities, you know, and all my friends love him.
Okay, I'm sweating.
Here with you.
I'm coming.
We had an irate customer one day about 2 or 3 years ago. And she wanted to sit in Carol's desk, and one of our employees came up and said, you can't sit there, miss. And she got really upset at Wesley and cussed at him and spit in his face, and we had to call the police. And then another time, a lady stole a shower. How do you steal a shower? I don't know. Well, she did it. She went in the shower room, and we were over there, and she came out the shower, and she was walking by, and her hair was wet, and Wesley was like, did you steal a shower? And I said, no, I didn't steal a shower. I thought you stole the shower. He stopped her, and he stopped her like right there. Miss, did you take a shower? And she said, no, I didn't take a shower. And her hair is soaking wet. And she's got on our shower shoes on her feet. And he says, no, you have to pay for the shower you took. It's $11. And he says, no, I never took a shower. I didn't even take a shower. And he says, well, wait, I'm going to call the police. And she says, no, I'm not waiting. So he took her picture, and then she waited for the police to press charges for him taking a picture. But then she ended up getting in trouble and having to pay for the shower.
Get all this. Dennis, you can call me Dennis.
Yep, right on top there, buddy.
Yeah. Take your time.
That's
all
right.
Good. Yeah,
here, I'll do all the heavy lifting for the price, huh?
For the transfer from here to Shanghai. For the a lot of package, luggage.
And when would you like to pick up these six pieces?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. At about what time tomorrow?
9 or 10 a.m.
Okay.
So just put here, and now we can go for shopping easily. Maybe the price is a little bit higher, over 200.
We just got to do things right. So you paid 15 for the shower.
Yeah.
Okay. And the shower, I think you.
Okay, so some people in different countries, the water knob turns in different directions or something like that. So hot and cold is different there. A lot of people don't know how to work the knob. Well, they'll get completely naked before they turn the water on, and then they'll come out the door like, oh, I don't have, you know, Americans are the only people that care about nakedness like that, really. You know, in other countries, they're like, oh, it's just a nude body. They come out, like, the door, and they're like, can you help me with the water? And I've had to, like, go in there and just don't make eye contact. Like, try not to look at them, and they're still standing there naked. Just like, can you help me with my shower?
A traffic cop. He came to me, and he wanted to know if he can leave his dad with me. And when he said leave his dad, he said, I'll bring him by tomorrow. I said, okay, no problem. I'm looking to meet his dad and stuff. So when he came in, he brought this urn in. He said, you know, this is my dad here. I want to know if I can leave him for a week. I say, sure. But anyway, his dad stayed with me in the back room on the shelf for a week because I guess they tradition when they having parties in the house, they can't have the dad around. So anyway, his dad stayed with me in the back room for a whole week. And I used to go back there in the back, and he used to come to the airport because he worked there at the airport, and he used to drop by. How's my dad doing? I say, he's doing great. He's in the back. He's not bothering nobody, you know. And he used to come by almost every other day to check on his dad. From 2000 up until 2014, we must be not had at least over 100 urns. And I had a young man about maybe last year sometime brought in store this father. He was taking him back to Hong Kong. And I had a couple of them coming through that was going back to either Beijing or going back to the Philippines. This is Leonard's Travels on BBC World Service. Okay, we're going to show you where we store our lucky grandmother. You know, we keep her here under the X-ray belt. We have a nice plastic bag where we keep her. Yeah, this is the urine here. And that's all the ashes. So this here, you know, like I say, I touch it and, you know, it's kind of like family to me. You know what I'm saying? So I just kept everything right here. You know, I know some people say, what's wrong with this guy? You know, but, you know, she lived a successful life. I'm pretty sure she did. And the unfortunate thing happened where it just shattered here at San Francisco Airport. So the family members can say that Mom left her heart in San Francisco.
I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill.
You know that lady that stored those ashes here a couple of years ago? We're gonna go through some files here. I'm gonna see if we can find this young lady. I remember she was from Atlanta, Georgia, and I remember she came here about 11 o'clock and she came to pick up her stuff. But I'm gonna go through some old contracts here, and I'm gonna see if I can locate this here contract. You know, I know it might be pretty hard, but you know, I'd rather spend that time to try to see if I can find it. But you know, and I went through thousands of contracts, and we go through about a million contracts a year. And unfortunately right now, it'll take me a little more time to do a lot of more researching because we have a storage unit which is on the outside of the airport. But, you know, I'll do what I can do to try to find that contract to try to see if we can contact her.
My name's Roger Hagen, and I'm from a little town in Minnesota. This was a fun experience. I mean, we've had a long day, a long, you know, all the transactions go on, and so you need some comfort, and this is refreshing.
Back in 1968 is when they started segregating the schools in Dade County, Florida. You know, you had to have a beach card to work on Miami Beach, and you're hearing it from firsthand, you know, my experience, you know, being 60 years old and born in 54 and going through the segregation, and you think of the dysfunctional things that happened to human beings back in those days. I was touched by a lot of the things that went on. So I think by me knowing what my mother and grandmother and family members and friends went through. That's what made me work harder and appreciate everything in life and respect everybody and to love everybody. That's part of what made me a great person. I used to have a 86 Chevy Love with a camper on it. And that's the truck that I bought from a passenger here at the airport for $50. And that particular vehicle was one of my rest areas here at the airport. Most of the people here at the airport remember me sleeping in that camper late at night because those was the days when I was working 19, 20 hour days, coming to work in the morning at 4 o'clock and getting out of here at 1 o'clock and maybe going home maybe once a week. That's how, you know, I get through the day with just a couple hours of rest. That's all part of dedication. When you determine that you have goals in life that you're trying to meet or a hole that you're in and you're trying to get out of that hole, you work just that much harder. See, I don't like excuses. I have a little memo that we got put up. We call winners and losers. A winner always come up with a solution. A loser always come up with an excuse. I'm the type, I don't deal with excuses. You know, I like solutions. Make yourself at home. We'll open up the sunroof there. You know, it seems like everybody in California is always in a rush. I think since I've been driving for the last 50 years, I've probably not seen a million fingers go up, either in my windshield or a car next to me throwing the finger up, but I'm used to it now. That's okay, I'd rather drive to arrive alive. You know, I don't need to drive being in no rush. Remember a while ago, I got home and my wife said, "You just don't look at nobody." She say, "I'm on the left-hand side of you. I've been blowing my horn and rolling my window down and yelling your name, and you done look over one time." If I say, baby, the way people are these days, I try to do my best to avoid trouble in my life.
These are things that people have said to me over the years. And I finally decided I had to write them down because some of these are just absolute gems. There was a woman who came in with a very large dog, and she said to me, "Where can my dog go to the bathroom before we get on the plane?" So I said, "Well, you can take him out on the curb." And she said, "He won't go on the curb." A lot of people have the feeling that this is a really small little airport. And so they'll call up and say something like, "What time did my brother's flight get in?" "I don't know your brother." This was a lady who said, "I have a ticket to Salt Lake City, and I'm sitting here at the gate, and I see that next to that gate, there's another gate with a flight going to Indianapolis. I think I'd rather go to Indianapolis. Do you think I can just go through that door?" Oh, this lady said, "Instead of paying for my ticket, can I just donate that money to the Red Cross?" And then people always ask, especially people from other countries, things like, "Do I need a passport to go to Hawaii?" Even though it's separated by a lot of water, it's part of the United States. You don't need a passport to go from here to Hawaii. One woman said she didn't like looking at the backs of people's heads, so she wanted to make sure she got a seat in the first row. And one time this woman came in and she threw her purse down on my desk and she said, "I left my leather jacket in the taxi and you're gonna have to get it for me." Most of the rude people are Americans.
Been doing this a long time, sir. I'm not saying you can't take it. I've traveled 30 years. Did that guy end up storing his bags?
Muhammad Arshad from Pakistan. I'm here to place my luggage in airport travel agency in storage. So, but it was expensive, so I decided not to place the luggage because it is quite expensive. For three bags, it is around $100. Today in the evening, we are flying to New York.
We are from the poor country. And the $100 is 10,000 rupees in our currency. So it's too much for us. And we have to decide, we have to carry with us and we'll stay here and we don't want to go outside.
How can I help you today?
You'd like to wrap that?
Oh, sure, no problem. Been going through the contracts for almost the last 4 or 5 days trying to find the contact. And I know the daughter lives in Atlanta, Georgia. We have so many contracts, and by me not being able to pinpoint what month it was or what year it was. It makes it a little difficult to go through a million different contracts. But if I happen to run into the daughter, I will tell her how great her mother have been. And I also like to give a message, you know, if you happen to be listening to BBC, this is Leonard with the Airport Travel Agency at San Francisco International Airport. And I'm still looking after your mom. So if you decide you want to come back to San Francisco and pick mom up and take her back south or take her back to a career, you're welcome to do that. But she's been in good hands. Hello, you ready to pick up? You got a 3-bag? Something like that, it means a lot to me. Probably didn't mean a lot to her, but it meant a lot to me. And all my employees know she sits under the x-ray belt, which is next to my desk, and they know not to touch it. You know, I know you're a long way from home, your country, South Korea, and I know it sounds like a weird story, but me and her mom got a good conversation.
I never heard Leonard talk to Grandma. I did hear him talking to the plant the other day, though.
I talked to my plants and I talked to my grandma. It's not out loud, but it is something that I think about all the time. I just appreciate, you know, you coming through San Francisco, and you came through at the right time, and it just been bringing me luck all the time. I'm Leonard Davis. Want to thank you for listening to BBC World Service. See you back at San Francisco International Airport.